You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
A very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast. Sam Norris and Gary Capewell here to run you through a couple of races from Leopardstown and Leicester. We're also racing at Catterick and Lingfield domestically on Wednesday afternoon, and you can hear every race live and in full on William Hill Racing Radio from 11:30 a.m. with the aforementioned Gary Capewell, joined by Ollie Pimrott and Tom Morley. First things first, how are you, Gary? Have a good Christmas?
Yeah, sorry. I'm full of cough and cold. But yeah, apart from that, all good. I can't complain. Nobody listens to me when I do anyway.
No,
so.
No. Well, you were working hard yesterday.
I was working
yesterday. Heard your dulcet tones on SIS yesterday.
Did well to hear anything, but yeah. But yeah, working yesterday, working today, and obviously working tomorrow as well. So.
Have you managed to enjoy the racing through?
Obviously, thankfully, we managed. They try and keep the racing away a little bit from the Kempton sort of racing, don't they? So I managed to watch all of that. Okay, didn't really clash with anything, which is always a bonus. So, yeah, managed to watch all that. Managed to watch pretty much most of the racing yesterday. Actually, some very impressive performances. Some good racing all over.
Yeah, we'll start with a little look back to the feature race on Boxing Day. The King George, of course, coming from Kempton. Very much the narrative of the race going into it, Gary, was about the two Colin Tizard superstars who were very close in the betting until the closer we got to the off, the more support there came for Thistlecrack. And
yeah,
it ended up being the right move as he won very nicely.
He did. Served it up to his stable companion from a good way from home. We tried to come alongside him on a couple of occasions, but his jumping, the jumps at the ditches were just unbelievable. And he just went through the race pretty much still in second gear, didn't he? Have to be very impressed with how he's gone through the race. And obviously, I think they're talking about perhaps the Cotswold chase at Cheltenham, give him a bit more experience there as his next run. And yeah, he'll be off there on trials day, and we'll take all of the beating, I'd imagine. How many horses will turn up against him, I've no idea. Mm. We've learned today that Q Cars like to go down the Ryanair route, perhaps a race that obviously he's won in the past. So, going to take a lot of beating from what we've seen thus far. So we've still got potentially Don Costat to come back, but whether he could come back in the same sort of form, who knows? And Jack Adam as well, but I don't think they'll be able to lay a glove on the winner of yesterday's race.
Into even money now for the Gold Cup. As you mentioned there, obviously beat Q Card yesterday. Q Card seems to have had the beating of the likes of Jack Adam and Road to Riches last year, which means the only two horses sort of in the Gold Cup betting that we haven't seen Thistlecrack beat yet are the very fragile Koenigree and Don Cossack, and those two horses have to be odds against to even get to the race. You feel?
We'll wait and find out with Don Cossack at this. I mean, it's one day at a time with him. I think he might be running in the Kinloch Bray at Thurles potentially in sort of, I think it's early February or late January time. And with regards to Koenigree again, I mean, with his career full stop, he's had plenty of issues and
yes,
missed plenty of races, hasn't he? So we'll wait and see if we see those two again before we really comment too much, I think.
Yeah, elsewhere at Kempton, then we saw Yanworth winning the Christmas Hurdle, beat the new one, and Chitabella, who again seems to take another slight step forward for the Skeleton. I suppose the disappointments of the race, Gary, my tent or yours, back and forth. But it was another nice win for Alan King's Charge.
It's jumping left a little bit to be desired, but I must admit, I didn't think they went that quickly. So I actually, looking at the time, wasn't actually that bad. But I think a flat, depends how many runners end up going to the Champion Hurdle, but an out-and-out, flat-out gallop would really suit Yanworth. Obviously, horses that run in the now Neptune, you're thinking the likes of your Hardy Eustaces, Rock on Ruby, and there have been others that have come and won the Champion Hurdle, having either run well or won the Neptune the previous year. So goes through his races so well. I mean, I thought he was very, very comfortable. And I think there was a lot more than the better than the, you know, overall. I think he's a lot better than the official winning margin will suggest. But even still, he'll have to improve again. I think his jumping will get better when they go into a race at championship pace. And he's the best option that we have for the race. Let's put it that way. Who comes over from Ireland, I suppose, is still open to a bit of debate.
Certainly. One more thing I just want to touch on from Kempton then. The 205 race, the Quarto Star Novices Chase, Gary, where we saw Mike Bight, an absolute mile clear of his rivals, and was driven into the final fence.
He was, wasn't he?
Took a crashing fall to lose.
He took a horrible fall. Good to see him get up, really. Mm. But I think if Darrell Jacob could have the ride again, he would probably ride the horse into the last, as he did the second last, because he let him find a bit of time and see a stride. But he took off outside of the wings in the last. I suppose he was asked up outside the wings, but he took a bit of a purler. And hopefully he's none the worse for that, because he would have been a very easy and impressive winner against some fair horses who put them to the sword from a long, long way out.
Yeah, probably one to watch for next time, you feel.
Definitely.
Another couple of star performers on the 27th, Gary. We've seen both Altior and Duvan win over fences this afternoon. We probably haven't learned a great deal about either of them. But again, Altior's answered every question that's been asked of him in the infancy of his chasing career.
We'll not really get a test for him until he comes up against potentially Min in the Arc, or should they both end up going for those races, of course.
Because Min went on Boxing Day as well by a similar margin.
Jumped, rather reached for the last, but yeah, he couldn't be failed to sort of be impressed by the way that he just had a nice lob round. He's beat him, obviously, at Cheltenham before, whether he could do the same or not, and we'll soon find out. But, well, we'll find out in March, because and that will be the test for the pair, because they'll be jumping at sort of championship pace as well.
6-4 Altior, 7-2 Min, and 4-1 or bigger the rest for the Arkle. Just before we move on to Wednesday's action, Gary, we couldn't move on without discussing matters at Wincanton. Andrew Thornton riding a double on the day to take him to the 1,000 winners marker. He seems to be stuck on, was it 996 for an absolute age?
He was. Obviously, he comes into the William Hill studio, the TV studio now and again, doesn't he? And he had been stuck on there for a while, and he'd just been ticking over a little bit the last couple of weeks. He had a winner at Bangor the other day, and I don't know, was very positive on Somchini, who won the first leg of the double and was very lucky in the second part of the double. Four-runner race with the favourite falling early on and the second favourite well clear and falling at the second last. So, yeah, but well done. He joins a pretty illustrious club. Obviously, there's a lot more members of it nowadays because there's more racing. But he's not too far behind Peter Niven now, because I think he got 104,000, whatever it was.
Yes.
So, but I think the plan is probably to retire at the end of this season.
Yeah, I think now that he's reached that milestone, it may well be the end for him in terms of riding. He also has had to take to Racing UK this morning to deny that he injured his leg attempting a Frankie Dettori-esque flying dismount.
Yeah, I didn't see that. But
he injured his knee whilst unsaddling the horse, but he was quick to say that it wasn't
convenient.
An attempt at a Dettori-esque.
Yeah, well, hopefully he enjoyed last night anyway.
I'm sure he will have done. We'll move on to take a look at some of Wednesday's action now then. We've got four races picked out from both sides of the Irish Sea. We begin at Leopardstown. It's another fantastic day of racing there. We start with the 150, which is there at Christmas Hurdle, a grade one event over 3 miles. Eight runners stand their ground at the time of recording. Likely to see Vroom Vroom Mag a pretty warm order for this race, Gary. Generally fairly versatile, and she seems almost to have no set campaign in mind because she's so versatile. They just sort of slot her in as and where the other stable stars don't go.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, obviously she was beaten last time out, wasn't she, in the grade one at
by Apples Jade, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got an exciting runner in the shape. I mean, she has to have obvious claims. Snow Falcon was going well at Newbury. Probably, I think, would have been very much in the shake-up when falling there in that race behind. You know what I mean, Harry? He was absolutely tanking along. Hopefully that hasn't left too much of a mark on him. Clondor Worry is a bit of a globe trotter. We know all about him. And Shane's Hill has been very consistent this season without getting his head in front. But the interesting one, who's going to arrive with a very big reputation, is Kotkikova, who's come over from France, bought by J.P. McManus. Nicky Henderson trains, Barry Geraghty rides. Was very impressive when winning it at O'Toy That was one of the last two at Aotearoa. They were hurdles, but I don't know exactly how much she cost to buy, but she's been odds-on favourite in the last five runs. So, you know, she obviously carries a pretty lofty reputation, and I think she's interesting. Whether she'll be ready to go first time out is remains to be seen, though. So with that in mind, you'd have to go with the one we know all about, Vroom Vroom Mag.
Vroom Vroom Mag, the selection for Gary then in the 150 at Leopardstown. We go to the feature race of the day now on the 28th, which is the Lexus Chase coming up at 3 o'clock. Again, 3 miles over fences this time. 14 runners have lined up at the time of recording. Valsolido, the 2-1 favourite with us here at William Hill. Jackadam 9-4, 7-1 Outlander. Zabana 10-1, 14s and bigger the rest of them. It looks another very decent renewal, Gary.
It certainly does. And yeah, I mean, obviously, Valsolido having his first run for Henry, had his first run for Henry, the Bromhead win, winning the Jane Wine Champion Chase at Downroy, very impressively beating Tavignaco Conti. Obviously, he would have won the Irish Hennessy last year if he hadn't have unseated the rider at the last. He comes up against Jackadam, who won at the John Durkin Memorial, beating Outlander on his most recent outing. I think, certainly on ratings, he's the one to beat. Outlander was second in that race, kept on all the way to the line. I think the stepping back up in trip will definitely be, that will definitely help him. Gil Gambo will be happier, another one going back up in trip. And likewise, Road to Riches as well, who ran on strongly at Goram Park most recently. The horse he was behind that day was Zabana, who won at Goran on his most recent outing. He's a horse I really, really like. Strictly speaking, he's got a lot to find on the figures, but I'm going to select him here because he likes it here at the track. He's 2 from 3, obviously, so far this season. That was a career best last time out, and there was a piece about him in the paper, I think it was yesterday or the day before, talking to his trainer, Andrew Lynch. Davy Russell on board. I think he's got a bit more improvement to come, Zabana, so he will get the pick for me in the Lexus.
Zabana gets the nod then for Andrew Lynch and Davy Russell in that 3 o'clock Lexus Chase at Leopardstown. We head over to the UK for the next two races on the podcast, going to Leicester for these, beginning with their 2 o'clock, which is a handicap chase over 2.5 miles. 10 runners stand their ground in this Class 3 event. Precautionary inspection in the morning for Leicester, but it shouldn't be frost, too testing, you would have thought. But mainly for frost, that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it was quite frosty. But I'm in the middle. It was quite frosty in Staffordshire this morning, and I think it's potentially going to get down to a similar sort of similar sort of temperature tonight or Wednesday. No, whatever, Tuesday night. So, yeah, that. Yeah, but the ground on the chase course firm, good to firm in place, because obviously there's been no rain and they don't water. They don't water the track.
Well, they had to abandon a meeting for hard ground not too long ago, didn't they?
They use the hurdles course as the flat course as well.
Right.
So that's the sort of the reason behind that. But plenty in with chances. I think the Italian Yob is well handicapped. He can more than happily win a race like this if he fancies it. Oliver's Hill won last time out, making all of the running over this course and distance. Do like course and distance form, or certainly course form, at least over at Leicester. Foundation Man's been in good form. Jack Savage gets on well with this horse. He claims 7 off his back. He's won his last two winning here and at Warwick. But I'm going to go for horse number 7, Dom Saline. Won at Stratford in September. It's been very consistent since then. actually finished behind Foundation Man earlier on in the season, but I'll say a bit better off at the weights this time around, and as I say, very consistent indeed this horse. So Dom Saline, the pick in the 2 o'clock at Leicester.
Dom Saline then for Gary in that Leicester handicap chase. We stay at Leicester for the final race on today's podcast. This is their 3:40 handicap hurdle, just shy of 2 miles is the trip for the 12 runners who line up. Anyone on your mind for this one, Gary?
Open looking race, isn't it? I have to say.
Including the highly frustrating Vercingetorix, who will have made many a punt to pull the hair out when was trained by Gordon Elliott.
Gordon Elliott, yeah, yeah. And he's now with Harriet Bethel. I'd be happy to let him win at the likely odds, to be perfectly honest. I quite like the horse down at the bottom here, the Juvenile. We'll mention Sleepy Haven first, though, who probably would have gone very close to winning if he hadn't belted a couple of the flights at Haydock. any honesty to the rider there, and he was third at Linkfield on his most recent outing as well. He's probably a bit better than that, to be perfectly honest, too. But I'm going to go for the Juvenile down at the bottom. I think this is a good bit of placing from Alan King. No weight on Timoteo's back, and he's been running okay in decent races. I saw him make his UK debut, actually, behind Cliffs of Dover at Doncaster just 18 days ago. So handicap debut, we don't know where we are with this handicap market. Could be absolutely thrown in. I think he potentially is. So Timoteo is the pick in the 3:40 race at Leicester.
Timoteo then to round off the podcast for Gary in the 3:40. Just give us a quick recap, please, if you wouldn't mind, of your four selections for the race.
Yeah, the 2 at Leopardstown in the 1:50 Vroom Vroom Mag, in the 3 o'clock Zabana, and the 2 at Leicester in the 2 o'clock Domtoline, and in the 3:40 Timoteo.
Thank you very much, Gary. Enjoy the racing, and we'll speak again soon.
Cheers.
Thoughts of Gary Capewell there, who you can hear live on Racing Radio from 11:30 a.m. on Wednesday afternoon alongside Ollie Pimlott and Tom Morley to guide you through all of the action at Catterick, Leicester and Lingfield domestically, plus that Leopardstown card as well. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.